Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I am of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm glad to be doing another episode with you. And I want to wish everybody a happy Easter and a happy Passover. And I hope everybody's staying safe and, just being responsible, especially during this horrible pandemic, which is, ruining, people's, ability to have normalcy, not to mention, people, my condolences go out to the people who are directly affected by, this pandemic.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really messed up, man.
Yeah, it's my prayers go to everyone who's been affected by this. It's a tragedy, but yeah, we'll get through this. Eventually this thing will end. But yeah, my condolences to everyone who's been affected and everyone out there, Jewish, Christian, Catholic, whatever, happy Easter, happy Passover, and try to stay positive and stay home with your families and, enjoy this holiday coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, here, I'm with you, man. Thank you for being on another episode, man, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode. And on today's show, we're going to wrap up last week's WrestleMania and, give you our thoughts, on how well or how terrible we did actually 2 weeks ago, because we didn't have a show last week, but we were pretty accurate with what the matches was going to be, even though a lot of those matches were, changed. But we're going to get into that. We're going to dive into that.
Yeah, and, I can't wait to hear what I got right.
All right. We're going to go into that momentarily. And we're also going to talk about the rumors surrounding the MLB, which basically they're trying to salvage the season because of, of course, the coronavirus. So, they're trying to, they have a radical way of trying to play this season. Well, that's the rumor that's going on. We'll talk about that after that, afterwards. And an NBA rumor surrounding, Donovan Mitchell, from the Utah Jazz and his rift with Rudy Gobert as a result of the coronavirus. We'll talk about that and how that might impact the Knicks. But most importantly, you guys know the number. Feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But without further ado, let's dive into the WrestleMania. And as you all know, this is the first ever WrestleMania that's empty, and a two-day WrestleMania. So it was a crazy WrestleMania. And we're going to go through our thoughts. This first matchup is Cesaro versus Gulak. I think this was a surprise matchup, but that was a match we didn't foresee. So we're not going to really go through it. I think that was on the pre-show too. But yeah, I can't say I saw that match, but
yeah, I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, I think that was in the pre-show. Cesaro won that. Becky Lynch recently said that she would like to see Cesaro get an opportunity to be a champion, which I think that's what everybody wants, really, except for Vince McMahon, who doesn't think he has the it factor for whatever reason. But that guy and Rusev and Big E, those are the three guys on the roster that should have been world champions.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about two guys who were on that boat before their matchups at WrestleMania last week. We'll tell you, of course, I'm talking about Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre. I'm sure you guys watched the show, so you guys know how that went. So, but we'll get into that as we go through this results. Next was, okay, Bliss and Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. They retained the title against Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane. I think that one was another surprise matchup too. So we didn't have a ruling on that one. So that's two matches that basically, you know, wasn't applicable
really?
To us.
Really? That wasn't the match I was on there before?
I don't think so. I think they must have brought it up on like the last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it got past us because I think they just announced it on that week. What was it? Probably SmackDown or so?
Oh, okay.
Because we didn't get a chance to get our thoughts on that one. If you remember, we did ours 2 weeks ago, and most of these stuff, you know, some of these matches weren't announced by WWE yet. But here's the worst match of the night that we all knew. Elias defeats King Corbin. None of us got that one right.
Oh.
We still have a draw here. Lynch defeats Shayna Baszler. We both got that right. And Lynch is still the Raw Women's Champion. The only thing that was surprising about that match was that was an 8-minute match. I thought that match would have been at least 20 minutes.
Yep.
So, yeah, they had Shayna Baszler demolish the entire women's division in the Elimination Chamber. And then against Becky Lynch, she gets squashed. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I was expecting Shayna Baszler. Well, I picked Becky Lynch, but I thought Shayna Baszler. I thought there was a possibility that she would have won this match.
Yeah, me too. Because they could have made a new star out of her.
Yeah.
But instead, Becky retains, as we both predicted, and Becky has literally had the title for over a year. So congratulations to her.
Congrats.
But now we'll see who's gonna be the real threat to her title reign. Now that she got through Baszler, who would have been her biggest threat since Ronda Rousey at last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a rematch between her and Baszler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not done yet. They're definitely not done yet. Not by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the Intercontinental title, yeah, we were surprised by this one. Sami Zayn retains the title against Daniel Bryan. We thought Daniel Bryan was going to have WrestleMania 30 magic and capture another title. But,
wow.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan hasn't gotten his butt kicked, well, since Kofi Kingston last year at WrestleMania, Kofi Mania. And then you'd have to go back to maybe the Sheamus match, 17-second match, to see him get his butt kicked.
Yeah.
Other than, obviously, the Kofi Mania that I just mentioned from last year. So, yeah, Sami Zayn, I'm surprised you know, WWE is actually pushing this guy and actually gave him a singles title. You know, he defeated Braun Strowman with the help of Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro. And, you know, he's retained the title, you know, at WrestleMania. So Sami Zayn finally has a WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, you might see that frenemy matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I mean, well, they're both on two different shows. Kevin, well, then I guess they would have to do another draft because they usually do it right after WrestleMania. So if they shake it up, they could definitely do it. Yeah, that'd be a good idea because last time they faced off, Kevin Owens was the heel, and Sami Zayn was the baby face. So
now
they definitely need to change that up because they gotta separate Kevin Owens from you know, Seth Rollins, because those guys, they're gonna just keep fighting each other. They're both on Raw. Yeah, but yeah, Kevin Owens, he defeated Seth Rollins. You know, Seth Rollins, this is probably Seth Rollins' biggest. This is probably Seth Rollins' biggest defeat at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I could think of.
Yeah, I think it is.
He's dominated. He cashed in the Money in the Bank against when Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns was battling out the first time. Seth Rollins. Oh, you know what? This is his biggest defeat since the Orton match he had years ago, WrestleMania,
oh,
I think 31,
yeah,
when he tried to do the curb stomp, and then Orton countered and turned into RKO.
One of the best, if not the best, RKO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Kevin Owens, you know, he did that awesome dive off the sign and through a table, and yeah, Kevin Owens, you know, he got his revenge.
Yeah, that was a very good match.
Yeah, we both picked Kevin Owens to win that no disqualification match.
Yeah, there's no way he was gonna lose that.
Yeah, it would make no sense for him to lose that match. John Morrison defeats Jimmy Uso and Kofi Kingston for the SmackDown tag team titles to retain it. We both got that one wrong. I think we both thought the Usos would win.
Oh.
And mind you, remember I heard there was a rumor that might have happened because WWE didn't reveal the whatchamacallit, three-man triple threat tag team match until I think the day before day one of WrestleMania. So that rumor was also true.
Mm.
Next week there's going to be a rematch. But this time, the other three members who didn't compete at WrestleMania are going to compete. So that means Big E is going to fight against Jey Uso and The Miz for the tag team titles. And Morrison retained in the most insane fashion. All three of the guys were on top of the ladders, and Kofi and Jimmy accidentally knocked John Morrison off with the titles, and as a result, Morrison retained it.
Yeah, that was funny, the way he ended up retaining, them headbutting him off the ladder, and he just went falling down with the championships to the ground.
Yeah, that was insane. And like Morrison said, he's the first guy to single-handedly retain the title, the tag team titles. And then Miz, you know, wisely said he's the first guy to defend the titles by sitting on his couch.
Yep, true.
So this SmackDown coming up this Friday, now Miz has his chance to try to retain the title.
Yeah.
When the reversals are returned. And let's see what else we have. Yeah, this was a clunker of a match. Braun Strowman defeated Bill Goldberg. Goldberg, he hit four spears, but it wasn't enough for the Monster Among Men. And Braun Strowman, he hits four power slams to win his first ever title. Now, mind you, the match wasn't great, but I'm happy for Braun Strowman that he's finally getting his opportunity with his first ever championship title reign. So, congratulations to Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. It was well deserved. I mean, this guy's put in a lot of work, and WWE finally gives him a chance to win the championship, and hopefully he holds on to it for a while. But I think eventually we're gonna see him drop it to Roman Reigns.
Yep. I think that's the case. And like I said, like I was hinting at the rumor weeks ago, it came to fruition. Roman Reigns, he wasn't able to compete. The rumor was that Roman Reigns forfeited his opportunity to compete at WrestleMania due to concerns that since he had leukemia, he fought leukemia in the past, that it would make him vulnerable to catching COVID, which unfortunately, now that you remind me, earlier today it was announced that there's an employee in WWE who has COVID. It hasn't been announced who it is, but somebody has it. So I guess Roman Reigns, either way you look at it, Roman Reigns made the smart decision. His health and his life was more important than another title reign. I mean, he's had multiple WrestleMania moments against Undertaker, against Triple H. He's won the title at WrestleMania. So, I mean, there's nothing more else he needed to do, I mean, it wasn't worth the risk. And look, he gave his friend Braun Strowman the opportunity to win his first title reign. So it works out in every possible way.
Yeah, I mean, he made the right decision, because this is a guy who's battled leukemia, and he would be at gr a great risk if he had competed. So I understand him pulling out, just as a precaution. I mean, can't risk it. So eventually we'll see him in the ring again very soon.
And the guy we'll see in the ring will be Bray Wyatt, which we'll talk about him in a few minutes. But he is going to challenge his former Wyatt family member for the title. After he cut a very interesting promo on yesterday. On the fire, the Firefly Funhouse segment on SmackDown, basically, acting like he's Braun Strowman's dad since he brought him into the WWE universe,
Yeah, I saw this coming once Braun Strowman won the title.
Yeah, it would have been so much interesting if we had the audience there to
Yep.
build this up. One of the few times that it's one of the few times that it was definitely necessary, that they could have held off on the bronze title reign, to save it for the fans to watch it.
Yep.
But yeah, unfortunately the show has to go on, and Bray Wyatt, he's going to be finally battling out against his former Wyatt brother. So that's going to be an interesting matchup, and most likely he's going to go in as Bray Wyatt, the Fiend. So this would be the second time he would fight as himself and not his alter ego, the Fiend. Because the theory is that, with the exception of Goldberg, he doesn't he only he only fights as the Fiend to get revenge for his previous loss to that person.
Oh.
So that's the theory, that other than Goldberg, who basically wanted him to, Goldberg, he had to, Goldberg had to fight the Fiend, because apparently the rumor is that Goldberg didn't want to lose when he fought the Fiend, because the Fiend was supposed to win the match, the match at the Elimination Chamber. No, it wasn't Elimination Chamber. It was Crown Jewel. But Goldberg refused to lose because he didn't want to show an image of him losing in front of his young fans. You know, he wanted to keep the image of being a superhero. So him losing to a monster would have impacted his image. So that's supposedly the rumor why Goldberg shockingly upsetted, you know, the Fiend, and ended Wyatt's promising title reign.
You should have just had Wyatt, as Bray Wyatt, go against Goldberg instead of the Fiend.
Exactly. That would have made more sense.
Yeah.
So basically, most likely, Wyatt might be going in as himself instead of the Fiend. But then again, maybe the Fiend could be offended because, you know, he left the family, you know, the Wyatt family. Or here's the scenario I'm thinking. The Fiend, Wyatt fights as himself, his Firefly Funhouse version, the Mr. Rogers kind of version, loses to the Fiend in the title match. And then when he gets his revenge and eventually win the title, will be against the Fiend to right the wrong of him losing the title match.
Okay.
But that's my little thought. Give you a little preview for whenever they're going to face most likely Money in the Bank. So that's my thoughts for now. That's a little preview. My feelings might change from here to then, but I think that the match is going to be in May 10 maybe. So moving on to me, the best match of the night, or to me, the best match period on this whole WrestleMania was Undertaker versus AJ Styles, the Barnyard match. Now, man, this was this match was impressive, man. It was cinematic, dramatic, and
fantastic
and phenomenal, man. Like, what more can I say, man? You had, you know, the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, you know, trying to take it to the Phenom, the Undertaker, man. He had to go back to his old school biker days, American Bad A days, man, riding on the motorcycle. And as I suspected, you know, he was gonna, you know, fight the OC when they, you know, interfered. But what I didn't expect was that the Druids were gonna attack him. You know, that was a twist.
Came out of nowhere.
Yep. So yeah, we both thought Undertaker was gonna win, and he did win. So far, you know, we both were in agreement with all these matches. We both got the same matches right, and we got both the matches wrong. All the matches wrong so far. So, man, I mean, this match was incredible, man. I mean, what's your thoughts?
Oh, man, that was a great match. That was similar to the Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy match that we saw last year. Very similar. The cinematic approach to it.
The Final Deletion match, or was it the Ultimate Deletion? I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but it was similar to that. But yeah, I mean, it was like watching a movie almost.
Exactly.
Star Undertaker. But yeah, it was great, man. Overall, Undertaker being attacked by the Druids and him beating all of them up, and him beating up on the Gallows. And
Anderson,
yeah, and him wrestling with AJ Styles on top of that shed or cabin, whatever that was, then finally burying AJ, after you thought Undertaker was going to be buried himself, you know, Undertaker
Yep.
just comes out of nowhere. And the whole
Yep.
match was fun to watch.
Yeah,
You
it
know,
was.
one of my favorite matches of the night.
Yeah. To me, that was the best match of WrestleMania, period. Great way to end WrestleMania day one. I mean, I could spend the whole episode talking about that match, but
Yeah, it was great.
it was phenomenal. No pun intended, but it was. No doubt about it. But they gotta be careful who they're gonna have this next Barnyard match. If they ever have a Sting versus Undertaker match, that then maybe should be at next year's WrestleMania. I don't know,
Maybe.
but we'll see what happens. Maybe that's the only way they could pull it off, because Sting, you know, Undertaker is hesitant of. The rumor is that Undertaker is hesitant of fighting Sting because they're both in their 50s. He doesn't think it'll be a good match. But maybe with this could be the loophole that they could fight each other, you know?
Maybe.
We'll see. Because Sting says that Undertaker is probably the only person he'd come out of retirement for. Because, you know, of course, he injured himself 5 years ago when he had that title match against Seth Rollins. So that's, you know, food for thought. So day two, apparently, Liv Morgan defeated Natalya in a pre-show match, but we didn't know about this. So basically, that doesn't apply to us. Charlotte Flair defeated Rhea Ripley. We both got that right. Yeah, basically, Charlotte's a two-time NXT champion. Rhea Ripley, she fought the way we thought Shayna Baszler would fight as well against Becky Lynch. But, you know, Charlotte Flair, the veteran, she got the best of her. And, you know, it was a great match. You know, Charlotte Flair really worked the leg. So when she got that figure eight, you know, it was believable to see her tap out. And she didn't look, Rhea Ripley did not look weak tapping out to her, because, you know, you could clearly see a Flair methodically, you know, weakening that leg. So
yeah,
it was a great match.
It was.
All right. Let's move on. Tyler Black, he defeats Lashley. No surprise there, because Aleister Black, I mean, he's basically only lost two matches. I only knew he lost to AJ Styles recently. I don't know who the second person he lost to, but apparently he has two losses, so no surprise there. Lashley would have won that match if he didn't listen to Lana. You know, if he would have just hit that Dominator, but Lana told him to hit the spear. He took her advice, and, you know, Aleister Black hit the Black Mass, and, you know, the rest is history, as expected.
I didn't see Aleister Black losing that match. I mean, the guy right now is undefeated, so.
Yep.
He's on a roll right now.
Definitely. Another match was Otis defeating Dolph Ziggler. Apparently, this was a match that wasn't official, so we didn't give our thoughts on that. I mean, I think we probably both would have thought Otis would have won anyway, because Dolph Ziggler keeps losing all the time anyway. So I think we both would have probably said that he was gonna, you know, Otis was gonna win.
Yeah.
But before we get to the matches, who do you think won between this matchup? Or should I just go through the whole thing and then I guess you'll figure out who won?
Yeah, just keep going.
All right, we'll keep going. But do you want to make a quick prediction who you think won?
Right now it sounds tied.
Yeah, it's dead even right now.
Yeah, it might end up tied.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
All right. So I will reveal the answer at the end. of this thing. So, okay, here we go. Let's see who. Oh yeah, Edge defeats Orton, last man standing match.
Oh yeah, that was a great match also.
Oh yeah, that was a great match. I know some people were criticizing it that it went on too long, 40 minutes or so. Arguably the second longest match, other than the WrestleMania 12 Iron Man match, which went 60 plus minutes, because obviously it went 1 hour plus the overtime. So this is the longest match since WrestleMania 12.
Wow.
So, but yeah, both matches were heated rivalries. So I guess it was appropriate. Those guys really destroyed each other in the whole arena. What was your thoughts?
No, that was a great match. That was I thought it was probably the second best, maybe not the second best, but probably the third best match of the entire WrestleMania. So I put the best match of WrestleMania. I still think that the triple threat tag team match, that was the best match. Mm-hmm. After that, I'd probably beat Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. And then after that, I put the Randy Orton and AJ Styles match just ahead of the Undertaker and AJ Styles match. But it was one of those old school, hardcore matches, from back in the day, them fighting all over, in the back, all through the arena. It was great to watch. Very gritty, gutsy match. And yeah, Edge came out on top, as I predicted. You got that right as well. So we both got that one right.
Yep. Up next is Street Profits defeating Garza and Theory, Austin Theory. If you remember, it was supposed to be Andrade and Angel Garza, but Andrade was taken out of the match, I think maybe due to injury or suspension, I can't remember. So Austin Theory, the guy from NXT, he made his big league call up to the WWE, and there is a winner in this match. Who do you think got this match right?
Oh wait, which match was this again?
Street Profits versus Garza and Theory. One of us got the match right.
I think I picked Street Profits. No.
You are correct. You picked Street Profits, so you broke the tie.
Oh man!
You picked
Angel and Garza.
Yep, I picked Garza, and I thought Andrade was gonna be there. By the way, I thought that the heels was gonna win that match anyway. But like I said 2 weeks ago, I hope I'm wrong. I was wrong, but now I regret it because it broke this tie. So
Street Profits.
I'm glad Street Profits won. That's all, I was hoping they won. Sometimes, you want to be wrong. So
yeah.
I guess this is the price I had to pay for being wrong. So I'm glad Street Profits retained. All right. So, yeah, we both got this one wrong. So now I have a two match losing streak. But you got it wrong too. So you still have that one point lead. So Bayley defeats Lacey Evans, Naomi, Sasha Banks, and Tamina for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And yeah, basically, I was surprised that Sasha stayed loyal to her.
Yeah,
I
think I picked Sasha to win this match.
Yeah, we both picked Sasha to win, and that's why we both lost. Both lost that match. And Tamina looks like she's gonna have a future number one contenders match. Cause I think she has to defeat Sasha Banks. I think that's next week, right? Or was it SmackDown?
I'm not sure.
Because I think she has to defeat Sasha Banks in order to do that. So that's a future matchup between Tamina and Bayley. What was I gonna say? Now, yeah, this is the most weirdest yet entertaining match of the whole WrestleMania, if you could even call it a match. And that's the, you know, Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus John Cena, Firefly Funhouse.
Oh,
now, when
man.
I'm coming to this match, I'm thinking it's going to be a legit, real matchup. You know, I thought they were going to fight inside the Firefly Funhouse, go around the place, and, you know, like the House of Horrors. It would have been, here's what I was thinking. I was thinking it would be like the House of Horror, the House of Horror match, the Boneyard match we saw the night before that at that time, and the Ultimate Deletion match between Wyatt and Matt Hardy, the Woken Matt Hardy at that time. So I'm thinking it was going to be a match like this, but it was basically a trip down memory lane that John Cena and Bray Wyatt, they went through their, you know, their whole careers in the WWE. And many people are thinking that, you know, as a result, you know, of Cena rewriting history, when Bray Wyatt gave him another opportunity that he had 6 years ago to hit Bray Wyatt with the chair, and then when he tried to hit Bray Wyatt with the chair, that's when he turned, you know, many people think he turned heel, because the whole thing was symbolic of how Cena was the Hulk Hogan of his era, which was very true. He was, you know, his career was patented after Hulk Hogan, you know, being that strong dude, fan favorite. But unlike Hulk Hogan, Cena, when he was supposed to turn heel against The Rock, you know, during the WrestleMania 28 and 29 feud, and then, of course, WrestleMania 30 against Bray Wyatt, he failed to turn heel. But in this alternate universe in the Firefly Funhouse, he finally turned heel, and then, you know, he joined NWO in the alternate reality. And then, you know, once the realization that, you know, Bray Wyatt confronted him and basically told him that he was a bully, John Cena found out the hard way that his diss that he put on Bray Wyatt came into fruition, but it was for him. Because John Cena was saying, like, at WrestleMania, he's going to do away with the most overhyped, talentless guy, whoever came into WWE, to paraphrase what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came to that realization, the Fiend was able to attack him with the Sister Abigail and then the Mandible Claw to finally make John Cena disappear forever. So many people are thinking, with this defeat, John Cena not only turned heel, but this might be his retirement, so that he'll basically ride off into the sunset and continue his Hollywood career. What do you think about this whole match?
No, I don't think he's turning heel. I mean, I don't know how fans are getting that, honestly, because that was just part of this Firefly skit. So I don't know how fans are even. I know there's been people wanting John Cena to turn heel for years, but I mean, you want him to turn heel out of that Firefly match where he was just reenacting different, you know, different roles and different, you know, eras of wrestling. I mean, come on. But no, I don't think he's turning heel, and I don't think he's retiring yet. I think he'll take some time off, but I don't think his wrestling career is over. I think we will see John Cena in the ring again soon. But right now, he's going to be taking a break doing the movie thing, you know, just like The Rock has done with his career. So, but the match itself was very weird. It was entertaining, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
A bit weird, but entertaining. But yeah, I wish we could have seen an actual match, you
mm-hmm.
know. Hey, we might still get that. Maybe SummerSlam. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the match was, I mean, the vignettes and the storyline was very very entertaining. I loved every moment of that, but I just wish there would have been a match.
Yeah.
You know, I wish once he got to that realization, they had a match where they went blow to blow, and then Bray Wyatt would have hit the Sister Abigail, and you know, basically the ending would have happened the way how it ended.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just weird to call it a match when it was just basically vignettes, but I was very entertained, and I'm glad Wyatt got the W.
Yeah,
and we,
I agree.
And we both got that one right.
Yeah, I didn't see Wyatt losing that match. I mean, he lost to Cena in that previous WrestleMania match. There's no way he's going to lose this one.
Yep. And then, of course, you know, Drew McIntyre, he defeats Brock Lesnar, which we all knew that was going to happen. We both picked that one to happen, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we knew that was going to happen. And one thing I liked at the end of the match was, you know, as the credit was going by, Drew McIntyre broke the fourth wall. And, you know, he reached his hand out to symbolize that he's reaching his hands out to the fans, you know, to, like, shake their hands. And, you know, and then he silently mouthed the words, thank you, which was a nice touch.
Yeah.
But going into the match itself, you know, I'm happy that, just like Braun Strowman, the matches, to me, weren't that good. But I was happy that these first time, you know, wrestlers who really busted their butts for so many years in the company, you know, they finally got the opportunity to hold the title.
Yeah,
you know?
Strowman, McIntyre, yeah.
So I was happy. I was happy for both of them. And prior to, you know, probably earlier this year or late last year, once he was going on this WrestleMania Royal Rumble run, if you would tell me that I'd be invested in Drew McIntyre, I'd say you're lying, because I was never a fan of his. Did I think he was talented? Yeah. I never really cared about him, you know what I mean, like, as
yeah,
a wrestler, but he really reinvented himself, you know.
Out of time.
Yeah, that was the only thing I liked about him, the theme song. The theme song and the Future Shot DDT wasn't bad. I mean, it's not his signature move into the Claymore. But, yeah, his theme song was the only thing I basically liked about him.
Yeah, when he was the chosen one.
Yeah, supposedly he said that he wanted the song back, but WWE felt like the song was too outdated. But he lobbied for WWE when he came back to try to have the song back, which would have made sense.
Yeah.
And they could have saved that song for, like, Sheamus or Cesaro. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could have, to me, that would have made more sense. Because apparently Sheamus wanted to have his old school song that he had, but WWE, same thing. They felt it was outdated too.
Oh.
So that's why they both have new songs. Oh, and congratulations to Drew McIntyre. He became the first Scotsman and first man of UK to win the WWE title. I mean, we always thought it would be British Bulldog or Wade Barrett or William Regal to win be the first, you know, guy from the UK to win it, but Drew McIntyre gets that honorable distinction, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, congrats.
And let me see. I'm trying to think. Bianca Belair, she in the match where Street Profits won, she made her debut, defending her husband, Montez Ford. and she is officially part of the Raw roster when they had the rematch on Monday Night Raw. That's a little side note there, but of course, on Raw that very same Raw, it was revealed that after McIntyre defeated Lesnar for the WWE title, Big Show got a surprise matchup for the title. And, of course, Drew McIntyre won. But, oh, yeah, but going back to the McIntyre-Lesnar match, what was really messed up about the Lesnar match was that not only was the match short, it was like 5 minutes long, but they were just going through their finishers. Like, Lesnar hit, like, three or four F5s in a row. And then the first one was just a one kick out. It was unbelievable. It should have been longer to space out the F5s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that match should have been longer.
And Claymore kicks. To me, it was very reminiscent of the Goldberg and Strowman match. And then for me, the first match I could think of, and probably ever, where wrestlers would like do their finishers like insanely too much, was WrestleMania 29 when Cena versus Rock. It was the first time I saw my favorite wrestler, The Rock, holding the title in person, but he lost to Cena. And that was the problem for me in that match. They just kept using the finishers. There was nothing else to set up the finishers. It was just finisher, kick out. Finisher, kick out. Okay, I'm going to do my finisher, kick out. You do your finisher, okay, I'm going to kick out. It was like the finishers, it was overkill. And this is coming from a guy who loves to see people do multiple finishers in matches and people steal each other's finishers within the match. But this one was overcalled. It was, yeah, there's no words for me to say it. Like, it was uncalled for. It was too extreme, man. Like, they should have spaced it out. It's not
it should
believable.
Have been longer. They had a lot of time to extend that match.
Brock Lesnar hitting his finisher, you have to take the 1-2-3 or you kick out or you roll around, or there has to be like a something, like a hesitation. There has to be something to, you know, like maybe he's hurt, you know, it prevented him from getting a 1-2-3 count. You cannot have a guy, Lesnar hit a F5 cleanly. He goes for the pin right away. No, like hesitation or anything. Like he's hurt. You know, he has to crawl to try to get the pinfall. He hits the pinfall, goes for the cover, and he kicks out. It's not believable. You know what I'm saying? It should have been executed better.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the same thing with the Strowman Goldberg match. It could have been a great match if it was better executed. It should have went longer so you could stretch out using the finishers. And then that's it. But needless to say, you know that McIntyre won, so that's the most important thing. And then of course he retained the title on WrestleMania. But we had to find out on Monday Night Raw that there was a surprise match, I guess, for Big Show to promote his new show, the Big Show. But I mean, all in all, you know, it is what it is. So, we have a winner. The winner of the WrestleMania 36 result is Macaulay Matthews.
Don't ever bet against me.
Yeah, here's the difference. It was a 10-9 difference.
That's right.
It was the Street Profit match that did me in.
Yeah. Don't ever bet against me.
Well, congratulations. You can see, as a Yankee fan, he's very humble with his victory.
Thank you.
Well, there you go, folks. Mac, he chose more matches. Well, one more match than I did, but it is. Hey, he edged out the 10-9 victory. So it is what it is.
That's how I do.
Yes, Mark Henry. But yeah, switching gear. Oh well, let me see what.
Oh, by the way, have you heard that Ronda Rousey says she's probably not going to be returning to WWE because she wants to spend time with her family. And
yeah, I heard she said F the fans. I mean,
yeah,
I didn't read
she thinks the fans are ungrateful.
Yeah, I didn't read the article, but I guess I should read it now to see what she said. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a work. I mean, I'm pretty sure she wants to stay with her family, spend time with her family. But is it a work that she hates the fans? I mean, I don't know. Might be. I'd have to read the article and differentiate. Do you think she was serious about that, or do you think it's a work?
I think she was serious about it. I don't think she's coming back, and I think she does think the fans are ungrateful.
Well, I guess that's she. You know, she's entitled to her opinion. Okay, it is what it is. But yeah, on AEW quickly, Jericho is gonna battle. He's gonna eventually battle the Woken Matt Hardy in a Final Deletion match. So that should be, you know, an interesting bout between those two. Lance Archer, he made his debut. And his manager is Jake the Snake Roberts. So it's good to see Jake the Snake Roberts back into the, you know, wrestling.
Making a comeback.
Mm-hmm. As his manager.
Jake the Snake also.
Oh no, we didn't. We met
actually, we didn't get to meet
we
him.
Met DDP
and Scott Hall
to promote the Jake the Snake movie years ago.
You're right. I forgot about that. Well,
yeah.
I could have sworn Jake was there too, no?
Nah, he wasn't.
Oh.
He was the only one that was in there.
Oh. What did I think he was there for some reason?
Mm-hmm.
Guess it was his movie.
Yeah, it was his movie. What else was NXT, Johnny Gargano defeats Tommaso Ciampa with the help of his real life wife, I'm trying to remember her name. Candice LeRae, you know, she turned heel. She first kicked her husband in the family jewels. No pun intended there. And when you thought Tommaso Ciampa was gonna get the victory, she kicks Tommaso Ciampa in the nuts as well, and allowed her husband to get the pinfall. So that was that. I think that was the same, the pay-per-view 2 weeks ago. Keith Lee defended his NXT title against Dominik Dijakovic and Damian Priest. And basically, you know, they're teasing that Velveteen Dream is going to eventually have a title match against Adam Cole for the NXT world title, which would be a great match in itself whenever that happens. But last but not least, MLB. The Major League season, as we know it is, if it even happens, is going to be a whole different ball game. No pun intended there, because there's going to be no National League teams, no American League teams, and if there is a World Series, it's going to be the Grapefruit League versus the Cactus League. And how does this affect? Which team is going to be directly affected the most? You guessed it. The New York Mets. Here's who they're going to be facing in the Grapefruit League. They're going to be facing the world champion Nationals. No surprise there. No problems there in my book. Unfortunately, they're going to be facing a playoff team in the Cardinals and the cheaters, the Astros. Oh, yeah, and the Marlins are in the league too. Another, no criticism there because obviously I expected to play the Marlins in the National in my league, in my division, because that's the way it's supposed to be. But no, because of this coronavirus thing, they want to keep everybody in their grapefruit leagues and have a grapefruit league season. The rumor is it might be a 60 game season. There's going to be DH galore, which is going to open the door for them to have DH in, next year, you know, that they've been rumored to having. And I think it's a messed up idea, man. I like the National League and American League, man. They shouldn't ruin this. And it's going to affect the Yankees as well, because Yankees, they're going to be facing – the Mets are going to be in the Grapefruit League East. The Yankees are going to be in the Grapefruit League North. And they're going to be battling the Phillies, the Blue Jays, the Pirates, and the Tigers. The Braves, they're going to be in the Grapefruit League South. They're going to be battling the Yankees' rival, Red Sox, Rays, Twins, and Orioles. And the winner of the Grapefruit League winner is going to be battling the Cactus League winner in the World Series. I just think it's crazy, man. What's your thoughts quickly before we go?
Well, here's this shortened season, it actually helps the Yankees a lot because right now they have some injuries early on. So right now this shortened season, that's a positive for the Yankees that's going to come out of this. And as far as these divisions, I don't agree with it, but hey, this is what this coronavirus has done. It's ruined a lot of things for a lot of things as far as sporting events and, entertainment and a lot of things right now. So just have to see how it pans out, you know?
That's how the cookie crumbles, man. And, NBA quickly, basically there's a rift between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. So basically people are thinking that this might open the door for Donovan Mitchell to be traded to the Knicks. But in order for the Knicks to make this move, they're most likely going to have to trade, RJ Barrett or Mitchell Robinson, which I have to say no thanks to that. What's your thoughts quickly before we leave?
I think that relationship can be repaired. I mean, they're gonna be on the same team for a while. So, I think once this is over, I think the coach will make them talk it out and they'll get back to playing basketball again and being, being on the same page, friendly. I think it could be repaired. I think right now it's just sour grapes on Donovan Mitchell's end. So I don't think this is as serious as the media is making it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I assume they'll bounce back, and even if they can't, I'll believe when I see if the Knicks make a trade for
that
caliber. And I wouldn't trade RJ Barrett or Mitchell for that guy, even though, I mean, he's a very good player. Don't get me wrong, but the Knicks need to build these young guys, and then eventually they could attract some talent. You know, them breaking up and hoping and praying that a star player is going to come to them, I think those days are long, long gone. I mean, the last time the Knicks was probably, I mean, with the exception of Stoudemire and Melo, I mean, the last time they got somebody of caliber like that, free agency was re-signing Allen Houston, basically.
Yep.
So I don't, Knicks got to look within and try to make smart decisions, drafting to change this thing, because nobody's going to come and save us. And, that's that right there. But, I want to thank you. Anything you'd like to say before we go?
Just a happy Easter and happy Passover to everybody, and stay safe.
All right, you heard the guy, man. I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode. I hope you guys, enjoy Easter. Well, it's midnight now, so, I hope you guys enjoy Easter. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Hope you guys stay blessed. And, you know, my condolences to, you know, the people who are directly affected by the coronavirus. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with you, man. You know, stay strong and safe. And, you know, Jesus loves you, man. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.